the whole 6010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, plus the ESPN Fantasy Facebook page and the ESPN YouTube feed, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. Happy Friday, September 17th. Field and Matthew and Stefania and
Daniel 17?
All here. I did. Tell me more about why that's significant.
Well, just because this is a number that should be burned in every Giants fan's memory for quite some time.
Yeah.
Every fantasy manager's, if you have Terry McLaurin on your team or you went against him, you're well aware of what he did last night. 17's a good number today.
Tremendous. I had a friend who texted me yesterday before the game and said,
wow.
Hey, I'm choosing between...
Look at him bragging about having friends.
No, it was Daniel.
And texting.
It was Daniel. Yeah, Daniel texted me.
Okay, so a professional friend.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Somebody paid by the Walt Disney Company to be your friend. Gosh,
right,
okay,
who asked
understood.
Me about Terry McLaurin versus another very, very talented wide receiver. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, listen, man, I'm like, hey... My ranks tell me I have McLaurin ahead of this other wide receiver, but like this is fantasy football. Like it's not crazy to think that you know, Terry could have 100 plus yards. The other receiver could have 100
sure,
plus
sure.
yards. Like these are two very good players. Like go with your gut here, right? And I was like, mine is Terry, but yours can be whatever you decide. Text me like middle of second quarter. He's like, a bunch of expletives. I just can't even repeat the text message on the show.
Sure.
It's a
how many dollars did he owe you?
I don't know. I don't think any. I'm going to see him in a few weeks.
Oh,
I can
no,
ask
no, no,
him
no.
whether...
Right.
Because
he cursed,
right?
Yeah,
because
he cursed. A lot of money. Yes.
A lot of money.
Jar. We should get that back at some point. Yep. I got diapers to buy. I could profit off of that square jar.
That's right.
Terry McLaurin was amazing. Let's get into last night's game before we recap. We'll recap last night's game and then preview all the major storylines going into week two. Stefania will have all the injury updates of note. We'll try to make it quick here on the Thursday Night Football, but there are a few things to get to, Matthew. Let's start with the two running backs. I think there's concern from those that have either Saquon Barkley or Antonio Gibson on their roster, even if there were some silver linings as well. I'll take Saquon. You can take Antonio Gibson. You want to do that?
Sure, sure.
So Saquon Barkley last night was kind of like, you saw the reasons for optimism. The problem was they were sort of folded into more reasons for pessimism. Saquon Barkley last night plays 53 snaps compared to just 10 for Devontae Booker. That's good, right?
Yep.
He also had a 41-yard run that was pretty impressive, explosive, a good reminder of how Saquon Barkley is one of the game's elite talents at the position. He managed just 8.9 fantasy points, though, Matthew, as his remaining 12 carries went for a total of 16 yards. He had two catches for 12 yards. So he has 23 rushing attempts so far this year. 14 of them have gone for two or fewer yards. The pluses of Saquon are that he's getting healthier. He's clearly improving. He can have those huge, explosive running plays. The reasons for, I would say, pessimism are that the offensive line still can't block.
Right.
And his passing game involvement may get better, but to this point, it's basically just checkdowns. It's not designed passing plays.
I tweeted this, too, like on that big run. What is it, a 41-yard run?
41 yards, yeah.
Like, I feel like old Saquon... takes that to the house.
Maybe close to
it. I mean, listen, Chase Young's a special dude, man. Chase Young is a special, special dude and chases him down, no pun intended. But I just feel like Saquon from a year and a half ago breaks that, you know, just you don't catch him. You know, and if you do, you can't grab a hold of those thighs. Having said all that.
Quads,
sorry, whatever it is.
Thighs.
Like, listen, the dude's just, you know, he's built differently than you or I, especially differently than me.
And me, to be fair.
And yes, but like, definitely me.
Okay.
You don't have a dad bod yet.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that a year from now when you have a dad
bod.
4 months.
It's rounding into form.
There you go. Come on in. Come to Papa. I'm going to give you my recipe for cinnamon rolls.
Your belly is like a percussion instrument,
yeah.
Right?
So, love it.
Slap in a bass, man.
All right. Yeah. Get in my belly. Anyway, so what I was going to say about Barkley, though, is all that said, and you know I've been as negative about Barkley as anyone. He was on the preseason hate list. I had him outside my top 10. I didn't understand why people would take him inside the top 5. I think if there's a silver lining here, I think we should judge him after week 3 when they play the Falcons. Understand, like,
fair.
As bad as Washington's defense played, it's still an above-average NFL defense. Week 1, first game back on the road at Denver, Mile High Stadium. Next week, they're at home to the Falcons, and they'll have 10 days. Saquon's going to have 10 days now. You know, it was a short turnaround, everything like that. I think if Saquon has a game like this against the Falcons, then I think you can panic. But I think everyone drafted Saquon with the idea of like, hey, he's going to start slow. And guess what? So far, he started slow.
Stefania, what do you have to add on the situation?
I just think it's complicated. It remains complicated. It's not necessarily a linear progression. We have to see how he responds to playing more time on the field last night. He's been asking for increased snaps. He got a little bit of that last night. I think for me, when I'm looking at it, I'm really trying to look at the details. And one is that that nice run that he had, that looked really good. But it, there was a wide open lane for him, and he was headed to the right side, which is easier for him right now. Things where he has to go to the left, where he has to plant on that right and go left, those are harder for him. There's a little bit of hesitation when he's trying to go up the middle. He just doesn't have the power there. He made a great decision last night on that 41-yard run to get outside. I thought that was smart. I think you're going to see him making smart decisions like that. I think there's still a ways to go. And I don't know what the magic is about week three. I understand about the opposition in terms of the defense. But I also would I would say, as far as like, if suddenly I've heard a lot of people say, well, if he's fully healthy by week three, it's not how these things work. I've always said that I think the back half of the season will be better for him. So hopefully he continues to progress without setbacks. That will also be the key. How sore is his knee? He mentioned that he had soreness in his knee after the last game. That's normal for this kind of injury, but there's going to be a balance at some point. How much work versus how he feels.
Let's move forward to Antonio Gibson, Matthew, and they got the win. Gibson ran well when he got opportunities, but...
Yeah, but obviously it's a disappointing game. J.D. McKissic has a monster game for him, and you know the concerns on Gibson coming into the preseason were just that. Will they use him on third down? Will they use him in passing situations?
Nope.
You know, how much is J.D. McKissic going to, quote-unquote, steal work from Antonio Gibson?
A lot.
And I guess... I'm still not worried. Maybe this is me being a little bit of a homer, but I get it. Like, I want to point. So our friend Ben Gretsch at Yards Per Gretsch on Twitter does a great job. And he tweeted this out. J.D. McKissic ran one more route than Antonio Gibson last night. One more route.
Mm,
and through 2 weeks, Gibson has actually run more total routes.
Yeah.
Last year, McKissic averaged twice as many routes per game as Gibson. Antonio Gibson ran 20 routes in last night's game. That's a career high for him.
That's fine.
Ben's
great what he does. Go ahead. Okay.
No. And then what I would say is, it's like, listen, McKissic had the big play, you know, touchdown drive where McKissic has the big run and then the touchdown to Ricky Seals-Jones. So that pads a lot to McKissic. He was in the 2 minute drill and they were going hurry up towards the end, and I think they wanted to keep that. And so he gets the gimme touchdown, which Heinicke checked out of the play and just saw a good formation and just handed it to McKissic. Whoever the running back was getting that touchdown. And so I think if Gibson gets that touchdown, again, the narrative changes quite a bit. I am not worried about Antonio Gibson. Look, McKissic's going to have, as we said in the preseason, deep league PPR value, but I still think in a game in which he got 15 touches, he got two targets, he ran 20 routes, the offense looked good. I'm more in on Antonio Gibson than out.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm still in on Antonio Gibson. It was like a top 20-ish running back, but yards, all routes are not created equally. They just aren't. And running 20 routes where you're like the fifth option on 17 of them or 19 of them is a lot different than J.D. McKissic getting the potential easy money plays. Up-tempo, two-minute situations, gotta-have-it situations. All of those went to J.D. McKissic last night, and based off of last year and the first two games of this year, I don't know that changes going forward. I kept saying the key to Antonio Gibson unlocking elite running back upside was getting those snaps, and the early indications are that's not going to be the case. Still optimistic, but lowering expectations for the rest of the season.
Last point on this, and then we'll move on to another player. But one thing you and I talked about prior to the show is, again, Taylor Heinicke didn't get any first team reps during training camp, and now he you know gets thrown to the game last week and had only 2 days really to prep for this game. And it felt like, to me, watching the game, just watching it live, I haven't gone back and watched the tape, but it felt like Heinicke just kind of locked in on his first read a decent amount. And so I feel like as Heinicke gets more familiar with this offense, that they will use, I mean, when you say Gibson was the fifth option, he's just not looking to check down. And basically, I felt like Heinicke sort of locked in on, like, this play's going to Taylor McLaurin, right, even if he's got two guys on him.
Again, we talked about the idea of him, like, there was not a single pass play designed for Antonio Gibson last night. Not one screen, not one dump, not one for Antonio Gibson last night.
He got two targets. McKissic got six. I get it.
reception. That's concerning.
I just feel like last night's game just was a super weird game, an intense one, and I'm not ready to. You're like, I have Antonio Gibson as a top 20-ish running back. I would say he's a top 10 to 12-ish running back. Maybe not leaping into the top five as we thought he could if he could get McCaffrey-like or even like half of McKissick's targets. I get it. He's not there yet. But I'm still, if I were ranking for the rest of the season from today on, Antonio Gibson's inside my top 12 of running backs.
I'd have him more like 16 to 20 personally, wow. Just concerned.
Antonio Gibson. He might be closer to 10. I mean, like, I'd have to think about it.
But he's played well through two games, and he's got like 17 fantasy points. Like, I don't know how, like, they're not throwing the ball. We talk about this all the time. Like, if you don't get throws, it's not going to be easy to make it anywhere close to the top 10 running backs.
It's wide receiver is a position that he probably doesn't know how to play very well.
Right, like, this is a guy who's never caught a ball before, right? So it's weird that they wouldn't have. It makes total sense why they wouldn't design a play for him. No, exactly. I'm telling you, no coach in the preseason is ever selling me this bill of goods about how he's our Christian McCaffrey. Stop it. Your Christian McCaffrey doesn't exist. Let's keep moving here to a couple more takeaways from this game.
Angry field.
Yeah, just a few more thoughts here. Just quickly, Sterling Shepard, 9 catches again last night. Seems like you can pretty much make him a lineup lock because it's clear he is the best Giants wide receiver. Kadarius Toney barely played. And Kenny Golladay, until further notice, belongs outside your lineup, which is where we had him anyways, Matthew. But you would expect much more out of a guy that got $18 million per year this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, listen, a lot was made of the conversation, quote unquote conversation that him and Daniel Jones had on the sidelines, animated conversation. But I just thought from a health perspective, I thought Kenny Golladay looked better than I expected. And once again, I thought overall the Giants offense looked good. Like I saw a lot of people, you know, trashing Jason Garrett on Twitter. And I'm like, man, like did Jason Garrett didn't call a perfect game, but I thought he called a really good game. And if there's not a penalty on Daniel Jones's touchdown run, if Darius Slayton doesn't drop that ball, if Dexter Lawrence doesn't come off sides on a missed field goal, like I think the narrative about this game is much, much different. I thought the Giants offense looked pretty good. Kenny Golladay looked healthier than I thought he would. Again, I think next week against Atlanta is going to cure a lot of ills for the Giants. Last thing I want to bring up here about this game field, and then we can move on, is Daniel Jones.
Great.
Guys,
best game I've seen him play.
And look, you know me, like this is what I do is like I predict the future, right? That's what we do as a fantasy analyst.
Right.
And usually it's at a week at a time.
Right.
It's a week's pace, right? But with Daniel Jones, I was just a year early.
You're a year early.
I was a year early with my ride or die. Yes, he was bad last year, but no one could expect Saquon to be hurt. But now this is the Daniel Jones that I was all in last year.
Right.
Daniel Jones now has two different games of over 21 fantasy points. Like and what was exciting for me, if you were a Daniel Jones fantasy manager or he's available in your league, because I bet you he's out there in a ton of leagues, is that all the designed runs for
six
Daniel
of them last
Jones.
Night. Yeah, really good to see that. And he got robbed, as you just mentioned, of more points because a ticky-tack at best holding call.
There was some bad officiating on both sides last night. I thought that as a Washington fan, I was thrilled for that call, but I agree with you. Very ticky-tack. The Chase Young, come on, the roughing the passer call.
No, that was a brutal one.
The
worst one was J.D. McKissick not touched by anybody. They went to review and confirmed that he was
down before the third. Right.
Don't get me started. Anyways, I don't like to rip on the refs too much, but it was a tough night.
It was a tough night for the Zebras Thursday night. Anyway, I'm just saying, like, I think there's something there with Daniel Jones, especially when you think about, hey, Atlanta's coming up next. I'm just like, listen, mobile quarterbacks. He looked good. He looked good against, I don't know if it was just the Washington defense playing bad or just Daniel Jones. Maybe Daniel Jones is finally living up to, with all the weapons that he has,
sure,
living up to being, you know, number 6 overall pick in the NFL draft.
Let's get to the injuries, and we turn to Stefania Bell for all of those. Most importantly, Stefania, the couple of running backs that have been dealing with a couple of different injuries. Let's start with Josh Jacobs in Las Vegas.
Yeah, so yesterday we talked about Josh Jacobs sitting out Wednesday. Well, technically, the Raiders didn't practice on Wednesday. And the other thing is, Josh Jacobs had said before the season started that he anticipated resting a lot of Wednesdays, and that would be the plan for him going forward. The surprise perhaps came in that he didn't practice on Thursday either. Now, we don't know whether that's because they had a short week coming off a Monday night game or whether this is something foreboding for this week, but I would say Friday practice, obviously a very big deal to determine Josh Jacobs' status for the weekend, dealing with toe and ankle issues coming out of that game. Miles Sanders for the Eagles rested on Wednesday, but full practice on Thursday, so no worries for him.
Okay, all good there for Miles Sanders. If Josh Jacobs does not play. I think we all believe that Kenyon Drake belongs as a lineup lock for you, not just as a runner, but also the passing game upside, which we saw in week one. He had five catches. Let's go to Baltimore.
He feels like a fade this week, even if he's active. Again, traveling to Pittsburgh.
You mean Josh Jacobs?
Josh Jacobs does. Yeah, Josh Jacobs feels like a fade this week, even if he's active. On the road at Pittsburgh, very good defense. Josh Jacobs was not impressive on Monday night. He got two touchdowns, so you didn't mind. But, like, that offensive line really, really struggling. You know, they had a lot of they've been banged up. They had a lot of losses in the offseason here. Like, I mean, I think Josh Jacobs is a talented NFL runner, but given that offensive line, the fact that he's less than 100% healthy, even if he's active and going against the Steelers, I'm looking for other options if I have Josh Jacobs this week.
All right, let's go to Baltimore, Stefania. They host the Chiefs on Sunday night. Hollywood Brown, obviously, also playing that Monday night game, so perhaps they've been monitoring him on a short week. But what do we know about him with this hamstring issue?
Well, we know he's actually listed with an ankle issue as being not practicing Wednesday or Thursday, but they may have him practice on Friday. That is the rumor. Now they're getting ready to practice right now as we're recording this podcast. So that's something that people want to pay attention to.
All right. We'll keep an eye on Hollywood Brown. He was really good in week one, six catches, all of them, 69 yards and a touchdown, I should say, for Hollywood Brown. If he plays, you know, this would be a matchup where you have to figure the Ravens have to throw to stay up with the Kansas City Chiefs.
And, you know, I just want to add, I mean, look at what the Ravens have been dealing with injuries, losing another backup cornerback this week. You have to believe that if they have anybody who's dealing with anything, they're going to be conservative right now.
One piece of news I wanted to update just was announced a few minutes ago. Head coach Brian Flores of the Dolphins just announced that Will Fuller will not play on Sunday due to a personal matter. He was excused from Thursday's practice. He will be excused from today's practice and not play on Sunday. So Fuller, who missed week one while serving the final game of a suspension, is out again on Sunday. Certainly wish the best for Will during this time. We don't know the nature of the personal matter, but Brian Flores made it clear there are many things in life that are more important than the game of football. Stefania, any injury update on the defense side of the ball that you want to make us aware of?
Yeah, Darius Leonard for the Colts on the injury report because of an ankle issue and an illness. Now, this cropped up, the illness. It's a non-COVID related illness. And the ankle is something he had a procedure back in July, and so he deals with some soreness from time to time. My understanding is that there is minimal concern about him heading into this week. He is expected to play. Very important for the Colts.
Okay, for those of you that might play in an IDP league, Leonard is one of the best options. He is a tackling machine. Sounds like a good progress update, all that with all that in mind from Stefania there, even if he
and
has
certainly
not
if practiced. If he were to miss the game, that would be a boon to Daryl Henderson and the rest of the Rams.
Yes, it would be. We're going to play a game of react or relax after a big week one in a minute, but first, did you know that Tony Romo is a motivational speaker now?
What?
All this football season, Tony and Corona are remotivating football fans to live the game day good life. Let Tony unlock your football fan potential at RoMotivation.com. There you can launch an augmented reality experience that will put Tony in your living room or at the bar next to you while you watch the game. It's true, you can be better at watching football. Let Romo and Corona show you how to live the game day good life. Visit RoMotivation.com now. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Do you own or rent your home?
Yep.
Sure you do. And I'll bet it can be hard work, too. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Going to play a game of react or relax after a big week one. Are these guys starters or are they players that maybe will regress? Jameis Winston had a monster week one. He was quarterback three with five passing touchdowns. And yet, Matthew, he had under 150 total passing yards. He plays Carolina this Sunday. Carolina looked pretty good defensively against the Jets, but certainly a different different offensive line and more experienced quarterback. Are you starting Jameis Winston this week?
I'm not. I'm at 17.
Yeah.
Again, there's no rushing real. I mean, weirdly, he actually had, like, I think over 30 rushing yards last week. But generally speaking, we don't think of Jameis Winston
as a running quarterback. And so we'll see if that's, you know, comes more into play this week. But I'm not counting on it. You've still got Taysom Hill, who's still going to get some red zone work here. And that's what's concerning to me. I mean, two of his touchdown passes came from within the 10-yard line, I think, last week. Jameis did. You know, listen, the five touchdowns is crazy good, but I think it's a little bit more of a wait and see on that. I mean, the Packers just didn't show up in that game. I'm at 17. I have Jameis Winston at 17, so am I ready to make him a starting quarterback in a one quarterback 10 or 12 team league? I'm not.
I got a gut feeling on the Panthers playing them tough this weekend.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not sure about an upset, but I think they could play New Orleans really tough this weekend. They have some good pieces of the monks along that defensive front, certainly Brian Burns being one of them. Jamal Williams had a crazy week one, Matthew. He was running back two with 25 fantasy points. Revenge game on Monday night, of course, here on ESPN, going back to Green Bay, where he played for the Packers for the first 4 years of his career. You starting him this week?
I am, as a flex. I mean, I'm at running back 26, but I think he's a very viable flex. I think he's a viable low-end RB2 in a 12-team league or deeper. Like, I think what happened in week one to the Lions is going to happen again, which is I think they're going to get
playing
down.
From behind,
they're going to be playing from behind. Jamal Williams is a pass-catching running back. You know he's going to be motivated, obviously, back in Lambeau in a different uniform, division rival. We like Jamal Williams as a player. It's clear that him and Swift are both going to get a lot of work in this one. So, yeah, look, do I think he's the second-best running back in fantasy, which is what I believe he was last week? No. But do I think he's viable and catches a lot of passes and is worth starting in a PPR league? I do. Again, I'm at 26. I'm as a flex play.
Yeah, hey, it's...
Go ahead. No, you go ahead, Field.
I was going to say, you know, when you're looking at your flex, especially in PPR, you tend to lean towards the wide receivers just because they have more receiving upside than most running backs. But if Williams can sack another really solid receiving game on Monday night, he might sort of entrench himself into that. It's sort of weird. Lock him in as a flex play consideration, because if you're locked in as a flex play, it really might mean you have upside to be an RB2 in a given week.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's a better version of J.D. McKissick. In terms of, like, passing game usage, because I think he's got a better chance at score. I know McKissick got the goal line carry last night.
Yeah.
That was a little bit fluky. I think that Williams has a better chance at scoring touchdowns on a more consistent basis, being used between the tackles, as well as being used, obviously, in a significant way in the passing game.
Love Hate is up right now on ESPN.com, and amongst the players that make that list is Corey Davis, New York Jets wide receiver, who basically was their passing game in week one. He had 26.7 fantasy points last week, the fourth best of his career, Matthew. Does he make the love or hate side of the list?
He makes the hate side of the list. Honestly, you think about Bill Belichick. What does Bill Belichick like to do, right? Very famously.
Guess?
Yeah, go for it.
Take away your best option.
There you go. What's the best option on the Jets these days?
I'm going to go with Corey Davis.
I would agree with that, right? They're going to get they're going to get Jameson Crowder back this week.
Maybe.
You know, maybe, I guess, right?
He is eligible to play, but they are not yet committed to him being available on Sunday.
So there you go. So we'll see if Crowder is active or not. I wouldn't start Crowder or Elijah Moore. Look, the other two, Bill Belichick takes away your best player. We think that's Corey Davis. The other thing is that the numbers about Bill Belichick versus rookie quarterbacks are not kind to rookie quarterbacks.
Right.
Like, that is a tough gig for a rookie quarterback to face Bill Belichick. I believe it's like 10 games over the last 10 games that he's faced a rookie quarterback. It's he's allowed 8 touchdown passes, something like that.
I know that Tua was the first rookie quarterback to beat the Patriots in like 13 years.
Yeah.
That was last year.
Right, so last year.
They typically fare very poorly.
And then you think about this Jets offensive line, which really struggled in week one. And, oh, by the way, just lost Mekhi Becton.
Right.
I just think it's going to be a long day at the office for Zach Wilson. I think they put extra coverage on Corey Davis here. I'm outside my top 40 for the week. I'm at 39 after all the Giants. And he was outside my top 40 prior to Thursday night. He's now at 39 once we've removed all the Thursday night players. But, you know, just... I would look else. I don't think he repeats his week one success.
Antonio Brown's going to be the player that we might discuss frequently with Mike Clay, because Mike remains out on Antonio Brown. You remain
He's
in on
hater.
Antonio Brown. I've got him at wide receiver 27, Daniel at 24.
One week in, I'm right. I'm
so
right.
So far,
and Mike
you're
right.
Yes, and you have him inside your top 20 this week.
I do. Look, obviously last week, monster game, 23.7 fantasy points. He now has touchdowns in four straight games dating back to last year. absolutely torched the Falcons last year, over 28 fantasy points. Nothing about Atlanta last week impressed me at all. He runs so many, you know what I mean, right? Antonio Brown runs so many routes. Listen, I think this is a big Mike Evans game. I think Brady wants to get everyone involved. This is what we talked about on Monday in terms of like, or last week, I guess, last Friday, we were talking about Mike Evans and like, should we panic? No, this is what happens. Mike Evans has these kind of games where he'll disappear, but then he'll have a blow-up game. I think this is a blow-up game for Mike Evans, but I think Tom Brady has a big enough game here that they support multiple fantasy-relevant pass catchers. Against Dallas, it was Godwin, it was Antonio Brown, it was Gronk. I think in this one, I think it's the wide receivers. Gronk, you're still starting Gronk, but I think Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, and yeah, still Chris Godwin. Like, I mean, it's just an embarrassment of riches for Tom Brady.
It's good to be Tom Brady these days.
Against the Falcons, but I guess for me, from the eye test, Antonio Brown looks like Antonio Brown.
Mm, yeah, he
looks
sure
like,
does.
You know, like, I mean, just like the Antonio Brown that was like the best receiver in football for a decade. He looks like that guy.
One player who makes your love list this week is Mike Williams for the Los Angeles Chargers, Matthew. He's at 27 on your wide receiver board. I've got him at 29. Daniel has him at 33. He was great in week one. He had 22.2 fantasy points, good enough to be wide receiver 14. Only question I have.
Yes, sir.
Is I wonder whether he draws Trevon Diggs coverage this week. Because Keenan Allen operates frequently out of the slot.
Correct.
A lot of teams don't like to use their top cornerback in the slot. It's a sort of different skill set for a lot of defenses. Diggs was the bright spot, maybe the lone bright spot for the Cowboys defense other than DeMarcus Lawrence last week. If it's Mike Williams opposite Trevon Diggs, I might be a little bit more nervous, but still, he showed enough last week, and he was the 7th overall pick for a reason once.
Couple of things here. You mentioned DeMarcus Lawrence. He's not going to play in this game.
Yeah.
That's a boon to the Chargers offense, right? I mean, so I think Herbert's going to have time to throw. Their offensive line played really well against Washington in week number one. And what was also encouraging about Mike Williams' usage in week one was how they used him. This is a guy that previously in his career had just been a sort of like, go deep. We'll see if we can find you.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so he was running intermediate routes and short routes, and they were moving him all over the field. And I was really impressed with Mike Williams' route tree in week number one. And we know the talent. We saw it at Clemson. There was a reason why this guy was a top 10 overall pick in the NFL draft when he came out. Injuries have derailed his career. It's been inconsistent. But the talent has always been there and feels like he's now being used in the right way by Joe Lombardi. It's, you know, similar to like Corey Davis or some of these other players that it's taken a couple of years, Devontae Parker. It's taken a couple of years for these talented wide receivers to make good on the promise that we saw from them out of college. But I think Mike Williams is there, and I think it's this year, and I certainly like a matchup against the Cowboys. This is one of the highest over-unders on the slate. I think it's a shootout in Dallas.
Give me
Mike
LA,
Williams. Give me Mike Williams as a top 30 play this week.
I believe the game is in L.A.
Oh, is it? Sorry.
It'll probably feel like a home game because Cowboys fans travel so well, and Los Angeles, not exactly a real home crowd vibe yet.
You are correct. The game is in L.A., but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeehaw. Shoot him up.
Yeah, there you go.
All your Cowboy puns.
Last thought, though, is I'll just
giddy
say
up.
We're hopeful. We've got him into the top 30, but if you're out on Mike Williams until further notice, I get that too, right? Like, because you know that you'll have one good game with Mike Williams followed by three nondescript games. So I get it if you're out.
That's why I have him at 33, not because I don't like him, but because we've seen this from Mike Williams before.
Yeah, totally.
Where he puts, don't give me those beady little eyes, man.
I'm giving you beady little eyes.
I know,
I'll tell
I
you
see
why.
It.
It's not that I don't like him. Well, you have him outside your top 30.
I do. I have him outside my top 30 because I've seen this before. I've watched Mike Williams put up big games and not show me consistency, and I think that you guys are both right in this second year of Justin Herbert can be a different Mike Williams than what we've seen before.
New I just want to
I want to see it before I trust it in my fantasy lineup another week.
Who you start like? Where do you have? I note here that like
so you got Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyrell Williams,
Quintez Cephas,
right? Kadarius Hodge,
Khalif Raymond is up there,
right?
Calvin Johnson just ahead of him as well.
Yeah.
A little homage to Calvin,
right?
Jamal Agnew,
Herman
former
Moore.
Cornerback slash wide receiver,
yeah.
Exactly.
Jack Fox, the punter who can catch well.
I'll tell you who I don't have ahead of Mike Williams. It's Julio Jones.
Okay. Julio Jones, who makes this week's hate list. We can move forward to the love-hate section of the show. And Matthew, you know, eye test, it was ugly for the entire Titans offense. I just, as I said, I believe Tuesday on the show, little nervous here, Matthew, just following how the NFL viewed Julio Jones this offseason.
Right.
Maybe the NFL was onto something in the modest price paid by Tennessee to acquire him. At 32 years old, perhaps the days of fantasy dominance are going to be much more infrequent.
It was clear from watching the week one game of the Titans that Julio Jones and Ryan Tannehill not on the same page. 33% of Ryan Tannehill's throws to Julio last week were off target.
Wow.
So clearly there's a timing and a chemistry issue there. Then you think about that offensive line. Like, Taylor Lewan, you know, just got absolutely embarrassed, right? And Chandler Jones literally was living in the pocket there for the Titans. Now they're going to Seattle. Seattle plays better at home. It's a tough defense. I thought the Seahawks looked pretty good against the Colts.
They did, yeah.
In week number one. And so it's hard to throw when you're on your back, right? My expectation here is that they maybe dial it back a little bit, and this is a big Derrick Henry game. Like, let's try to take the Seattle crowd out of it. Let's get back to what we were doing. We probably, you know, I mean, the game got out of hand quickly for them against Arizona, Tennessee, so they had to go pass heavy. But just like you want to see it from Mike Williams, like, I'd like to see it from Julio in a Tennessee uniform. I mean, like, at least Mike Williams performed in week one. He was great, Daniel, sitting on your bench because you don't believe in him. But, like, he was great for, like, all of us that have been on Mike Williams, you know, this year and on the preseason. That's fine. Whatever. You hate him. That's fine.
I have him, like, four spots lower than you.
Hater.
No, six.
The hater.
I moved him from 33, and this is my fault. This is on me because I didn't tell Kyle before the note. I moved him from 33 up to 29.
Mike Williams?
Just now, in the last 30 seconds, because we convinced you?
Before the show.
Same spot where I am.
Because I wanted to move him inside my top 30, but I am also still nervous on Mike Williams.
I like that Daniel just said, you know what? The spotlight's getting a little too hot on me. I can't handle this. Let me throw Kyle under the bus.
This isn't on Kyle. I said this is on me because I didn't let Kyle know I changed my ranking, so that's on me.
Sure, this is not on Kyle.
Look,
somehow poor Kyle just gets thrown under the bus here.
Kyle's
sitting in the back doing research, doing stats,
Kyle's
and you're just all of a sudden like, and you're just
Reeves
like,
on the bus
no,
trying to
you're just
the
like,
bus,
Kyle
Matthew.
Shouldn't even, Kyle shouldn't even, Kyle's microphone doesn't work today, by the way. That's why he's not chiming in. But like, poor Kyle's just sitting there like, why am I in this conversation?
Please.
Like, oh, it's your, like, you know what I mean? Like, just, why don't you just own your 33 ranking? Why do you have to make up some crazy excuse?
I'll own it for you.
Did the dog eat your homework too? Like, what happened, Daniel?
Yes.
You know, like, oh, I forgot to email Kyle that my rankings were updated and he could update the graphics. Like,
you're not allowed to come on the Friday show when you're watching
football team
wins a Thursday night football game anymore.
You hate Mike Williams. Own it. I got an idea. I have an idea.
Yeah.
Upon further reflection, I'm willing to make a board bet.
All right. I'm listening.
I say Mike Williams.
Yes.
Will finish outside the top 30 in wide receivers this week.
Oh, I'll take that. I say Mike Williams finishes inside the top 30 of fantasy wide receivers this week. Put it on the board!
Put it on the board!
Nice! That was some redemption from Daniel right there. I don't know why I made that bet. I'm talking myself into it. What the heck? I want to play with fire every once in a while.
Yeah, good. I like it. I dig it.
All right, let's move
anyway,
forward.
I just would like to, on behalf of everyone here at the 06010, I would just like to take a moment here to apologize to Kyle Soppy for the slander
this,
that Daniel Dobbs threw at you. I'm so sorry, Kyle. You do a great job here. You work hard. It is absolutely not your fault at all. You had nothing to do with this. Kyle,
I agree with
Daniel,
all of this.
Daniel ranked him at 33.
I co-signed this apology
Daniel
for some reason.
Ranked him at 33.
So bad.
And
so bad.
Wanted to figure out a way to explain his bad ranking of it. And then suddenly you got dragged into it. And I'm sorry. I apologize. It's not the kind of behavior that you should expect from anyone on the 06010.
Let's move forward here to James Robinson, who also makes the hate list, Matthew. And we talk about this. James Robinson just saw some. We saw way too much Carlos Hyde in week one. Way too much for my liking.
Mm-hmm.
Unexpected, but still
42%
unsavory.
James Robinson saw only 42% of the Jaguars' running back touches.
Crazy.
In week number one. He was out-touched by Carlos Hyde 11-8.
Overthinking it, man.
What was it that made James Robinson so valuable last year, Matthew?
Listen, it was two things. Number one was he was good. Like, give the guy credit. The guy, played
talented.
Well. Legit
totally.
Talented. But also insane volume.
Insane volume.
Insane volume. And we knew the volume would come back, but would dial back. But we didn't think it would dial back to the point where he's backing up Carlos Hyde. And look,
not quite backing up.
Not quite backing
up.
But
sharing the
work. But like the fact that this is much more of a committee than I think people thought. And listen, we talked about what's weird is we talked about in the preseason, like after the Jaguars game, we're like, boy, Carlos Hyde was out with the first team quite a bit in that preseason game. Like, are you getting a little nervous? Like, we talked about Carlos Hyde as maybe a late round target. Like, hey, he's going to get a little more work. There might be some standalone value to Carlos Hyde in deeper leagues. But I don't think any of us thought that he would get that much work. that he would play more snaps than James Robinson.
I drew a little bit of a line between Miles Gaskin and James Robinson, with the idea being that they're going to be veterans who are going to chip into their workload early in the season, but I'm going to remain strong. You know, the idea, like, I'm going to remain committed to these players because I think, in time, Malcolm Brown and Carlos Hyde see their snaps go down because the cream rises, as we know.
As
sure,
we know.
Cream rises.
But based on what we saw last week, it's really hard to have James Robinson inside your top 20, which would be a must start amongst running backs.
So from that standpoint, you're saying that you would, assuming that you already have them on your roster, you're saying you'd hold. Is that, are they somebody that maybe after this week, if they have another down week, or, I mean, depending on what happens, would you look to acquire them because you think season long?
No, but here's where, like, I would consider it is, like, if you have a Jamal Williams on your roster, mm-hmm. if you acquired Elijah Mitchell off of waivers, if you added any, you know, maybe Tyson Williams as an example, those are players who might by rank be a little bit lower, maybe not Elijah Mitchell, but they may be a little bit lower than James Robinson, who might be examples of players that if you're nervous, you could punt and turn that direction.
Might feel more comfortable starting. Yeah. Like, I mean, I have to your point about Jamal Williams, like, I have Jamal Williams and James Robinson right next to each other in my rankings. Yeah. And they're at home against Denver. I feel like the Jaguars offense hopefully plays better this week. Denver again, traveling east, you know, but if you wanted to start Jamal Williams over James Robinson this week, totally get it.
Like, I'm fine with it too.
It's going to be a much more high-scoring game, we think, on Monday night than Jaguars-Broncos, which is one of the lowest over-under totals on the slate.
Let's get to some players whose rankings went up after what we saw from week one. It's time for us to go for two. Brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. God, they're so refreshing. Let's begin with Los Angeles Rams running back Darrell Henderson, Matthew, who we have at 15 for you, 14 for me, 18 for Daniel. Yeah. He played 94% of the snaps last week for Los Angeles. He's a guy that I think is going to eventually cede some touches to Sony Michel. Again, they didn't trade two draft picks for Sony Michel for him to play one play or five plays
per
game. I mean, listen, that would be a gross miscalculation of resources to trade away two picks for a guy to literally sit on the bench.
Yeah, I agree.
But that time is not here yet, right? It's going to be another week of Darrell Henderson in a matchup that I don't know that it totally scares you, especially if Darius Leonard, who Safanya suggests it will play, but not super, you know, I'm not
scared
of this.
Yeah, it may not be 100% if he does. Yeah. And, you know, Seattle ran well against the Colts last week. And look, I mean, let me put it this way. I don't think the Colts are much scarier than the Bears in terms of run defense. And Darrell Henderson had no problem running against the Bears. That offensive line of the Rams looks really good last night. My expectation here is that it's a big workload. Does Sony Michel get some more touches than he did in week one? Yeah, probably. But do I think the majority of the work goes to Darrell Henderson? I do. I like him this week. Again, I'm as a top 15 play. At some point, you're right. This is going to be more of a committee. But at the moment, it's the Darrell Henderson show. He's the lead running back on a good offense in a solid matchup. Give me Darrell Henderson this week.
And I'm going to keep ranking him that way until it changes, right?
Yep.
So maybe at some week I guess wrong, and all of a sudden Sony Michel plays half the
Here's
snaps.
No, what you do. And the week that you guess, quote, you guess wrong, you're just like, oh, I emailed Kyle and
right,
he meant to update the rankings, and he didn't, and I'm sorry. Yeah. And you just do that.
Got it.
Just,
okay. Duly noted.
Just pull a Daniel.
Right. Okay, let's move to one more here, and that's DeAndre Swift, Lions running back, Monday Night Football, of course. And remember, last week we were nervous.
You're a company man.
Yes, not because we were nervous about DeAndre Swift's talent. We know he's a really talented guy.
Really talented.
The question was just whether or not he was unhealthy in the preseason.
Yeah.
There were some comments from the coaches that kind of caught your attention a little bit.
Sure.
Dan Campbell and Deuce
Staley.
And
people were talking up Jamal Williams.
Yeah, and by the way, Jamal Williams was running back two last week.
Yes,
so there was some merit to Jamal Williams' role, but 57 snaps for DeAndre Swift last week to just 30 for Jamal Williams. He's still the guy here in the Lions backfield.
And he's really talented. And again, he's also a talented pass catcher. That's the other thing, right? I mean, this is a guy who got double-digit carries and targets in week one. And because both Williams and Swift can go between the tackles, because they both can catch the ball out of the backfield, I think it gives Jared Goff and that offense some versatility. And especially considering how none of those wide receivers have separated themselves. You know, whatever, Quintez Cephas and you know, Khalif Raymond and
you don't have to caveat that. None of the wide receivers have separated themselves.
Maybe. I mean, I know you like them all more than Mike Williams.
It's
but
TJ Hockenson and the two running backs,
exactly.
And that's really it for that offense.
Correct. Correctamundo.
Yeah.
And good hip reference by me.
Good for you.
So anyway, yeah, I mean, so Swift to me is a very solid guy. Like, I am at 14.
Stefania, you want to get in on this one?
Oh, I just think that it's worth noting. So both running backs are on the injury report. People are always concerned when you see that on a Thursday. Don't forget they play Monday. DeAndre Swift, you expect because he's listed with a groin issue. The same thing that was problematic for him going into week one. And obviously he showed us that he was healthy enough to do that work in week one. Jamal Williams listed with a chest injury. But again, I don't think this is a big deal. I think that's a Thursday reporting element. And given that they don't play till Monday night.
Always a reminder.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Hey, Stefania, real quickly, for people that can't watch the feed here at, they're listening to this, they're not watching the feed, you were wearing a t-shirt that says I Heart PT. Is that the PT Cruiser? Are you a big car enthusiast?
I thought it said Pit. My bad.
No,
yeah, what is that?
I Heart PT, physical therapy, me. I'm a PT. I'm still a licensed PT.
You love yourself? Is that what you're saying?
I love
wow.
my... Wow. Well, you know, that's
kind of
where
Matthew's
it starts.
Hey, check
you know,
your ego at the door
Matthew,
a little bit, okay? Wow.
Matthew, in order to find true happiness, you have to start from within. You wouldn't know about that.
I
but
would?
I do.
No.
I do love physical therapy. I'm very loyal to the profession. Mm. All my good people who are in physical therapy is my shout out to them today. You know, it's Fun Shirt Friday. And I think every player who's gone through rehab, all these players who we see who get back, they're not getting there without the help of their physical therapist, among others.
Right. So. Okay. Wow. Stefania, her own hype man. Interesting.
This is hyping my profession. So
yeah, yeah, but you happen to be a physical therapist. So you're
yeah,
just like,
did they make a t-shirt that says, I heart old fantasy analysts?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I want
wow.
that t-shirt.
That's a fantasy life shirt if I had
yeah.
heard of
it. I would buy that. I would put them out of stock.
Yeah. Please.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
I just gave
I'll get,
you a
I'll
great
get the,
idea.
I'll get the fantasylife.com
store. I
gave
you a great idea, and I want a cut of it if when you start selling.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll
done
buy
and
one.
Done. Sold and sold. Listen, I'm going to make Beth wear one.
Field, what's your Fun Shirt Friday shirt?
This is a shout out to my guy, the great Marcus Beers, one
oh,
of my
yeah.
favorite people here at ESPN. It is, in fact, Swagoo season. I love you, Swagoo. I appreciate you for hooking me up with the t-shirt here. If you want to find these, go all over social media or all over Marcus's social media. He's at mspears96 on Twitter. And if you want to find him, just turn on your TV. He's on 22 and a half hours a day on ESPN. Yeah. So big man ballin', Swagoo season. Love you, buddy. Thanks for the shirt.
I appreciate that. I didn't get. I'd like a little Swagoo swag.
I can direct you to the website.
I appreciate that.
There you go.
Fantastic. I'm wearing number 17, Terry McScorn. Just you know, just a little shout out to my guy.
Little shout out.
Like you know, balled out in a big way on Thursday night.
I got balled.
So all right, fair enough.
Balled.
Wow.
Because you're.
Wow.
Because I'm bald.
Stop.
Inged.
Stop.
Bald.
He was balling out.
He's balling out.
Yes, that's
balding
out. I am balding out.
Right,
right.
Terry McLaurin is
that's
balling.
That's what you and Terry McLaurin have in right. common.
Yes.
As
yeah,
as you share something.
Yes.
Right.
He
really
is
quickly,
balling out.
I just want to say this.
Balding out. Yes, sir.
My Fun Shirt Friday shirt is I'm wearing. This is my Dungeons and Dragons. Like our like group has a big logo that.
Wait,
we,
hold on.
That we put together.
No.
So we made
be
shirts
careful,
with
Matthew.
Each other.
Be careful.
It's called the Steel Magnolias. We've been doing this campaign
you currently
for about 2 years.
Play Dungeons and Dragons. You have
correct.
A Dungeons and Dragons group that you currently play
yeah,
with.
Yeah, we play online right now because we aren't
yeah,
getting
course,
together. But yeah, so anyways, shout out to Andrew and our D&D group, the Steel Magnolias, because it's just a fun shirt. And this is my mom's hat. At Dot Mama,
aww.
She got this like 25 years ago back home as a Pistons fan. And
best
so I,
logo in sports right there.
I yeah. pulled it out and decided to share it for today.
Your so. Mom is such a dedicated fan of the 06.
I
want to love your mom.
We love
she's
her.
The best.
We
yeah.
love
she's on
Mama
real.
Dop.
She really
she's,
is the best.
And she's at Mama Dop, right? On Twitter or at Dot Mama?
At Dot
what is
Mama.
At Dot Mama.
Dot at Mama. Dot Mama. Give her a follow at DOPPMAMA.
Pick every NFL matchup for a shot at prizes with Pigskin Pick'em, presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Play at ESPN.com/PigskinPick'em or on the ESPN Fantasy app. All right, let's move forward with a couple more rankers. Ja'Marr Chase, Matthew, who goes all the way up inside the top 20. He was much lower than that in week one. Obviously, there were concerns about how much he would, you know, dominate targets. He had some drop issues during the preseason, some confidence issues, it appeared. He put all those to bed, and as Mike Clay told us yesterday, it's a wonderful matchup against the Bears.
It really is. I mean, the Bears just got absolutely decimated, that secondary, by Matthew Stafford and the Rams in week one. And you think about Chase, who led the Bengals in target share, routes run, fantasy points, looked the part. You know, like people were saying, this is one of the best wide receiver prospects of the last 15 years. Looked the part in week number one. So great matchup. Somebody that Joe Burrow is looking for in a significant way. The Bears allowed the most deep passes of any team in the NFL in week number one. So you know they'll take a couple of shots to Ja'Marr Chase. By the way, he's also super cheap in DFS this week. if you're looking for a DFS pick.
Jamar Chase. One more is Tyler Boyd, who we talked about this a bunch, Matthew. So let's just sort of set the record straight one more time. You are in on Tyler Boyd this week. I am less optimistic.
Well, look,
it's a relative term, but still.
Understood. I'm at 36, you're at 47. So, you know, we're 11 spots apart at the moment. The Bears secondary certainly struggled against the slot. Think about what my little Cooper Kupp did against them last week. I think Tyler Boyd is too talented a player not to get a lot of looks. I'm not ready to bail on him just yet. Give me some Tyler Boyd, who had, last year was very, very good, right? I mean, last year was very good. Top 15 wide receiver with Joe Burrow in all the games that Joe Burrow played last year. Week one was just kind of a weird game. I'm in as a relative. I mean, I'm at 36. But I do think better days are ahead for Tyler Boyd, and it starts this week against the Bears. I want to mention, as long as we're talking about slot receivers, just want to mention very quickly, I meant to put him in love-hate, and I ended up forgetting. I sent an email. This one's entirely my fault. Like, I forgot to send the email. I didn't.
Thanks.
That's what I'm saying. I did not put in the email.
Appreciate it, Kyle.
Right. Yeah, got it.
This is not on Kyle at all.
Way to go, Kyle.
That's what I'm saying.
Who do you love?
I wrote the email and I forgot to send it, so it's my fault. I'm a moron. But I just want to mention this somewhere, which is Cole Beasley. I think Cole Beasley has a big game this week.
Okay.
I think this is a guy that I wish I'd put him on the love list, so I just want to get it on the record somewhere. Going against Miami, again, think about Miami and those two corners that are so, so good. Like, I think the way you attack Miami is in the middle of the field. Cole Beasley had, I think, 8 targets last week off the top of my head. Like, look good. I think Josh Allen has a big game here against Miami. He traditionally does. And I think they're going to spend a lot of attention on Stephon Diggs and Emmanuel Sanders. So I think Cole Beasley out of the slot in the middle of the field has a really nice game, especially in PPR against the Dolphins.
We're going to talk about some lessons learned from quarterbacks that made their debuts with the new team in week one. But before we do that, a word from our friends at Gumout. Fantasy Focus Football is brought to you by Gumout. To get a peak performance, a lot of people try the latest techniques, technologies, and even ingredients. When it comes to performance enhancement for your car, the most exciting development is Gumout with Carbon Clear. Carbon Clear is potent. It's the most advanced fuel additive on the market. It's also their newest technology. Think of it like this. You've evolved your stat tracking, right? We're not just talking about catches and yards and touchdowns. We track targets. We track yards after catch. We track DVOA. So why not evolve your car's performance as well? In fact, cars on Gumout get better engine performance, increased fuel efficiency, and lower emissions. It only takes 2 minutes to pour Gumout into a gas tank, so it's quick and easy to use. And it's not hard to find. You can get it at mass retailers or your local auto parts store. So what are you waiting for? Get your car running with Gumout. Right now, with Carbon Clear. Performance enhancement for your car.
Did you know that more than 50 million men suffer from male pattern baldness?
Almost 50 million, you say?
50 million! And 2 out of 3 of men will experience some form of hair loss by the age of 35. Keeps offers a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. Convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months.
Yeah.
You don't have to leave your home.
Where was Keeps 10 years ago for me?
That's a great question. Low-cost treatments start at just $10 per month, and Keeps offers generic versions, discreet packaging, and proven results. Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and prevention is key. Treatment can take 4 to 6 months to see results, so act fast. Now, if you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/FFF to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/FFF to get your first month for free. keeps.com/FFF. FF. While you're out there signing up for Keeps, why don't you also check out the Fantasy Focus DFS podcast, now available on YouTube. If you go out and search Fantasy Focus DFS Week 2, you can watch myself, Mike Clay, and Al Zeidenfeld break down the Week 2 slate for you. And we also have...
Is this the CSS DFS?
So check that out if you're into dipping your toe into the DFS waters. And Matthew, we just had a new episode of The Fantasy Show come out.
Yeah. It's streaming right now on ESPN Plus, the Week 2 Love-Hate Show. Really nice. Good episode. Really, really fun as well. By the way, my Love-Hate article also out, also part of ESPN Plus. Feel just as your free agent finds column is, just as all the Mike Clay stuff, his playbook that'll come out tomorrow, or it came out today, I guess. His playbook that came out today, his wide receiver cornerback matchup that came out earlier in the week. And so an ESPN Plus subscription makes a lot of sense. And you're like, well, that makes sense. And I'm like, you know what? But for a few extra bucks, more than getting a year to subscription to ESPN Plus, you can get a rotopass.com subscription. Ooh. That you get 12 months of ESPN Plus, plus five other great fantasy sports websites. And when you talk about DFS, right? We have DFS lineup optimizers, DFS analysis, including on ESPN Plus, obviously. With Al Zeidenfeld does great work for us there. So I'm just saying, like, it's a pretty good bargain there, and it also give you, you know, we have tools for trades and in-season waiver pickups and all the analysis you need. It's five great premium fantasy sports websites along with 12 months of ESPN Plus. You get a full year subscription and you use the promo code 06010 to get 10% off.
It's like ESPN Plus Plus.
ESPN Plus Plus, yes, at rotopass.com.
You know what my favorite line from Love Hate was this week?
Tell me.
Urban Meyer, if Trevor Lawrence struggles again, Urban Meyer is going to bench him for Chris Leak. It was the context of how Urban's very loyal to his college players.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much. Thanks.
First time
it took me a while to decide like who's the most obscure Ohio State quarterback in college.
Because you couldn't go Tebow because he'd already been
right.
There,
of course, right? Exactly.
Yeah. Chris Leak, Florida quarterback. But still, yeah,
I mean, Urban Meyer, what I meant is most obsure Urban Meyer quarterback.
Yeah, Alex Smith coming out of retirement.
Smith, right, exactly. Yeah, like I went back and forth with a bunch of different ones.
Yeah, that was good right there.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's move forward to lessons learned from new quarterbacks who made their debuts in week one. This is a fun fact. How about this? The Jets and the Patriots play on Sunday. 125th time they've ever played, which includes three playoff appearances.
Wow.
Sunday would be the first time that they've ever both started a rookie quarterback in that game. So it's Mac Jones versus Zach Wilson, two of the five first-round quarterbacks this year. The first time that two of those five will lead their respective teams against each other in a game. We hope this is a rivalry for like 15 years in this division. But is there a Patriots pass catcher that you felt most confident in, Matthew, coming off of what we saw in week one from a fairly promising debut of Mac Jones?
Yeah, I think it's still Jacoby Myers. Like, I get it. Nelson Agholor had the better day, but I think Jacoby Myers, that was a function of, you know, the coverage. I still like Jacoby Myers. I haven't ranked the highest. I'm at 37 this week. Like, you know, got a red zone target here. He got 9 of the Patriots' 13 slot targets last week. So he got a lot of looks.
Yeah.
And again, we don't think the Jets' defense is particularly good. So if I'm starting a Patriots wide receiver this week, I think it's Jacoby Myers. But I don't mind a dart throw on Nelson Agholor either. I think they have a lot of success here. I think Jonnu Smith has a big game. I'm in on the Patriots this week.
Okay,
I think it's
so
a huge
Agholor goes in as I move, toggle him over to the other side of the in-out board. That's
I wish, by the way, you know who else would be in? Would be Damian Harris. I know we're talking just pass catchers.
Yeah.
But I think Damian Harris, like, I know he had the bad fumble late, but I think Damian Harris redeems himself. I thought overall he ran well. Yeah. I think the fact that Ramondre Stevenson also had a turnover helps Damian Harris's cause. I think Damian Harris has a big game this week.
I'm going to overrule you here. I'm going to say Nelson Agholor needs to be an out. If we don't have him ranked as a player that we're starting in the starting lineup, we should just put him on the outside.
Okay, well, you're making this difficult on me, Daniel.
You know what, Field? It's not my fault.
Kobe Myers goes in. Nelson
Agholor. Is it Kyle's fault?
Out.
Whose fault is it, Daniel?
Smith goes in.
It's not my fault.
Matt Harrington.
It might not happen this week, by the way.
I just say.
Oh, my God. That's right. Matt Harrington, our producer. Like, you know what? You know what, Daniel's dressed as today?
What?
Yeah, he's dressed as a train captain because he's driving the train and running and throwing everyone under the tracks.
Wow.
That's what he's doing.
How about this?
Yeah,
I don't know if it happens this week, but the Patriots were, I would say, fairly conservative, if not very conservative, with Mac Jones last week. He's going to let it rip soon.
Yeah.
And I think things open up in that offense. It may not be this week. It's a good matchup, too, but it's still only the second week of the season. Soon enough, that offense is going to let things rip.
One little thing to add. Just monitor Jonnu Smith added to the injury report yesterday with a hip issue. It's a limited participant, so I'm not aware that it's any sort of a big deal yet, but just keep
something
an eye.
To monitor.
Yeah.
Something to monitor.
Best place to monitor all the
injuries.
When
anyone is added on Thursday, you always want to double check.
The best place to monitor all injury updates? Fantasy Football Now, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2.
You Matthew are Stafford. A company man.
Dun, 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 dun,
and,
dun.
And I just want to be clear here for the viewers at home or anyone listening at home. When you say let it rip, what you mean is he's going to be aggressive in his pass throwing. You don't mean let it rip like the way when I'll say to my wife when we're under the covers, hey, I'm going to let it rip.
That's. I'm just trying to be clear about what you mean when you say let
How
it rip.
How on earth are you married to an angel like your wife when you are the way that you are?
No one knows.
I don't
No one knows.
It. I don't get it.
Balding Dutch oven either. King over here.
I don't either. I think she's just sort of wore down. Yeah. She has five kids. She's so busy with her kids. She's
Listen,
so busy with her
I
kids. She's
just like, I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
Right, let's talk about Van Jefferson and Tyler Higbee. Yeah,
Matthew Stafford was very sharp for the Rams in week one. Last week, we saw several pass catchers make their mark, especially Cooper Kupp. But Matthew, let's talk about sort of the ancillary pass catchers in this offense. Van Jefferson had a long touchdown after a great call by Lindsay Theory on Fantasy Football Now in the morning. Can he run it back this week?
Never say never. I mean, certainly the Colts got beat deep. I mean, Tyler Lockett had a field day against the Colts in week number one. So I think that's something that Indianapolis struggles with quite a bit. My expectation is they will take some deep shots. So possibly. But, you know, they also had DeSean Jackson, run a lot of routes. Cooper Kupp had a big game. Robert Woods did not have a big game, which I'm a little nervous about. Like, was that a one-game thing?
I think it's a one-game thing for Robert Trees. He's out, though. But Jefferson's out. Let's not be crazy here. If he has another great game,
then keep on your radar. But I agree with that. I'll just say I think Van Jefferson's a talented player. I know they like him a lot. Second year player. But yes, I agree with you. I think between the two wide receivers and Higbee, there's probably not enough volume to support four fantasy relevant pass catchers. And you're starting Kupp, Woods, and Higbee.
Higbee is in, by the way, for me. Yeah, Higbee has now become a full-time player for them with no more Gerald Everett. He is in. Let's get to the Broncos, who last week took care of business against the Giants. They broke out late with a long Melvin Gordon touchdown run, Matthew, but it was a direct even snap count for he and Javonte Williams, 33 snaps apiece. Are you in or out on Melvin Gordon?
I'm in, as a mid-tier flex play. I'm at 24. I think just better chance at a touchdown, had the big run. At some point, Javonte Williams is going to take over this backfield, but not this week.
Right. And by the way, part of the narrative when you draft a player at 34th overall is the player in front of him, Melvin Gordon, would maybe be washed. Did you know that Melvin Gordon was the fastest ball carrier in week one? That 71-yard touchdown run
really
was the fastest any player reached as a ball carrier via Next Gen Stats. So Javonte Williams, in or out then, Matthew?
I think he's out. Here, let me. Can I? Can I?
Yeah, go.
You
for
tell
it.
Me. Daniel, if, you tell me out. If I'm wrong, Matthew, because I don't mind that. You're good at doing that.
You're wrong.
So I think Javonte Williams is out. Not because I don't think he's not going to play, and I don't think I think he will get touches. But until I see him, like you said, Field, take over that role, I think he's always going to be right outside that top 30 because he'll have that opportunity, but he's not going to have it full time.
How about this though, Daniel? Let me ask you this: would you have put Melvin Gordon in or out?
I'd have put Melvin Gordon in.
Interesting, only because the line feels so thin to me. Right. Like the line was just Melvin Gordon had one long touchdown run late. Prior to that, they were equal players.
I'd put Javonte Williams in as well. I mean, again, I have him at 30. I have Gordon at 24. So I've made a call there, but not a big difference between the two. And they're on the road to Jacksonville. Jaguars let like I think 18 billion different Texans running backs score last week.
They did, yeah.
I mean, like honestly, seriously, like. On the road at Jacksonville, there's absolutely no reason why that Gordon and Williams can't each get into the end zone or each have a productive fantasy day, each have a top 30 fantasy day.
We're going to go quickly through these last few here. I'm going to start with this one. Gut call here. Cortland Sutton having a bounce back day. And also part of the reason why I'm playing against Matthew Berry in the War Room League today, this week. I have Cortland Sutton.
Yes.
So he's going off.
That's right.
Noah Fant, I'm in as well. We're all in on Noah Fant. Again, it's hard to find tight ends that play as many snaps as he does with that kind of athletic ability. He was good last week. How about the three Jaguars, Matthew? How about this? By the way, I need the screenshot saved right here. The Jaguars have three primary wide receivers. They're all juniors. Does that happen normally or no?
I don't think so.
DJ Chark Jr., Marvin Jones Jr., Laviska Shenault Jr., Matthew, in or out? Let's go speed dating style. DJ Chark, in or out?
Interesting. I'm out on all of them.
Really? Yeah. Bad matchup?
Bad matchup with Denver. Okay. I thought that offense looked terrible.
Okay. No Ronald Darby this week. I'm with you.
If you had to pick one, Matthew, DJ which Chark one would you pick?
For me, Marvin Jones.
Marvin Jones.
I'll take DJ Chark. Board bet it or no?
Yeah, I'll do that. I don't care.
Why not? Let's get weird.
A little dangerously.
I mean,
that's my ranks. I have Jones at 35. I have DJ Chark at 40.
Okay.
I'd hate to see impressionable young Matthew.
I'll say it. I say Marvin Jones has a better fantasy day this week than DJ Shark.
I say DJ Shark has a better fantasy week this week than Marvin Jones.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
All right, Stefania, before we say goodbye, I understand you have an update that we need to know about.
Yeah, Jameson Hensley, who covers the Ravens for us, just sent me a little note about Marquise Brown, knowing that we were talking about him earlier in the podcast. He is back at practice today with that left ankle taped up. Now that they only get to be present for a portion of the practice, so they did not see him run at full speed, but he thought he looked pretty good doing footwork drills. So good news for Marquise Brown's availability, it sounds like.
Yeah, I get the sense he's going to play on Sunday night against the Chiefs. Huge, huge game for Baltimore. They do not want to fall to 0-2. And with that, we say thanks so much for listening to us all week long. I always remind you at this time of the week to watch Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2. Or once F1 coverage is over, we'll start on ESPN News. For Matthew and Stefania and Daniel and Kyle, because I'm the only
poor
person
Kyle
who actually emails and appreciates
you
Kyle around here. I am.
You're not alone.
We're
no,
top two guys.
Everyone appreciates Kyle except for Daniel, who throws him under the bus.
Put him on the tracks.
Everyone's runs him over.
After the
look,
show.
Here's a quick impression. Who am I? I'm Daniel. Oh, I just ran over Kyle.
Let's get that T-shirt for Matthew.
I backed up on Matthew for the record.
Oh, man. All right, we try to say goodbye. This time we're actually going to do it. We're back on Monday with the recap of everything that took place in Week 2. Good luck in your matchups. Go, Cortland Sutton.
Peace out!
Turning numbers into dreams. That's what he'll do. Along with random Damien. He's in Fields Group. The deepest voice you'll ever hear.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.